1 Timothy chapter 4. In a moment, the reading will be verses 1 through 5, and the sermon is mostly from verse 4. We would love to spend all our time in the church affirming the true doctrines about our Lord Jesus Christ, who He is as both God and man in one person, what He has done for us in washing us clean from the guilt of our sins in His own blood, which He shed willingly on the cross. But the Lord's apostles have taught us the necessity to spend a good deal of our time in the church denouncing false doctrines that lead people to depart from the faith. So, having enjoyed for some weeks the exposition of 1 Timothy 3:16 about the mystery of godliness, we now are working our way through 1 Timothy chapter 4 about some departing from the faith. We have received already the warning not to give heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. We've heard the description of false teachers, that they're hypocrites who speak lies, their own consciences seared with a hot iron. And we have heard two leading examples of the kinds of false doctrines such teachers present as if they were true. First, they forbid people to marry. Second, they command people to abstain from foods. These two examples given to us here in the Bible will serve us very well in detecting and resisting false teachers and their false doctrines, if we take care to understand this. The first example, forbidding to marry, the apostle states, but then does not go on to expound. So I'm leaving that one alone for now. The second example, commanding to abstain from foods, the apostle spends several lines expounding. So that's the one I'm taking up with you today. My plan for today is to make the main statement of truth in this passage and show you how that truth appears several places in the Bible. To help establish that truth firmly in each person's conscience. Here's that statement of truth regarding food. Every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused. I'm aware of some of the questions that you may have about that, either already or once you get to thinking about it, because of the things the Bible says that might seem to conflict with that statement. As we read together here, every creature of God is good, or everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be refused or rejected, you may end up with questions such as, well, what about the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? What about blood and meat with blood in it? What about foods that the law of Moses said were unclean, like pork? What about foods with leaven or yeast in them and the feast of unleavened bread? What about food sacrificed to idols? Those are the questions that I know come up. You may think of other good ones that didn't occur to me. One of the other church members suggested to me, I hadn't thought of it. Well, I don't intend to ignore any of those questions, any of those issues. Instead, I would love to address them with you thoroughly. I haven't decided yet whether to take up some of those or each of those in future sermons. I'm thinking about that. But whether I do that or not, if any of those issues troubles you or interests you, you're very welcome to ask me about them today, some other Lord's Day, or some other convenient time. You can get a hold of me and discuss those with me all that you want to. I will tell you right now two things that I've learned and am sure about regarding all those kind of questions. Nothing that the Bible teaches about any of those things actually conflicts with the truth we are studying today. And the truth we are studying today is actually fundamental or foundational to understanding rightly what the Bible says about all those things. So, for fortifying your conscience against false doctrine, so that you may stand firm in the faith, according to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, consider with me today the truth that every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused. 1 Timothy 4, starting in verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused. Now, I'm not going to turn to Genesis chapter 1. We just had this read to us aloud by Brother Dylan. But I'm going to refer to that as I remind you what God told the whole human race about this through Adam and through Noah. Remember what God said to the whole race about this subject through Adam, as was just read to us a moment ago. God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food." I hope you can take note with pleasure at the way God put this. I have given you. It's all his, right? He had just made it. It all belongs to him. He's the creator of it all. It's not ours by nature. It's all his. But he said, "I have given you." Now note the agreement between that and the statement in our verse today. He says, "I have given you every," referring to the green plants. And our verse says, "Every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused." Now I am going to turn to Genesis for chapter 9, where God spoke to our whole race on this subject through Noah. This is right after the flood. Genesis chapter 9. And I'll read verses 3 and 4. Genesis 9, verses 3 and 4, God speaking to Noah, and therefore speaking to all of us, our whole race, through Noah. Genesis 9, 3, "Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, its blood." Note again that just like at the beginning, God said, "I have given you." And he says, "I have given you all things," or "I give you everything." He notes that this is just as at the beginning when he gave us all the green herbs. Now he gives us all things. Not all things absolutely or without any limit, of course, but all things in the categories he has just named. Every moving thing that lives, meaning every animal. And, of course, not including human beings. That's not who he's talking about by that. Every moving thing that lives. As he had already given us all the plants, that is, every moving thing that doesn't, you know, every living thing that doesn't move, every non-moving thing, now he says, all the moving things that live. So now he's named two categories, plants and animals. And everything in those two categories is now given by him as our to be our food. Now, as to the animals, he specifies that he does not mean the blood. The flesh and bones of animals, not the blood, because the blood is the life, and the life is in the blood, and he's not giving that. So, everything in those two categories, you know, all the plants and all the animals, but the flesh and blood of the animals, not the, the flesh and bones of the animals, not the blood. Now, again, note the agreement between this and our verse that we're studying and this statement of truth that's in it. Here, Genesis 9:3, every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things. Now, our statement in 1 Timothy 4:4, every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused. See how those things agree perfectly. We have read here in Genesis what God orders for all mankind, for the whole human race, that we may eat any of his plants and any of his animals. Now, this is a grant from God himself. I think it might be helpful to think of this as part of our charter from the Creator. Here is what's for you, to eat all the plants and to eat all the animals. Now, you can understand at this point why the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 4 speaks so sternly regarding those who command people to abstain from foods. God himself created the plants and the animals, then he himself gave them all to us for our food. It is exceedingly wicked then for a person to command that people must abstain from some of those foods. Think of how arrogant a thing it is for a person to do that. God has specifically said, verbally, he laid this out. His word to our race is, I created all of this. I give it to all of you. I give all of it to all of you to eat. And then for someone to say, you mustn't do what God said. You mustn't eat the food that he has provided. Do you see how rebellious that is? Now, if you don't lay those things right down next to each other like that, it might not make sense to you. Why does Paul come down so hard on this? Deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons, hypocritical liars, conscience seared. And let me give you an example. They say you shouldn't eat certain foods. Well, if you don't analyze this correctly, those things don't seem to match. They say you shouldn't eat certain foods, and that's all this wickedness. But then when you examine it like this, it comes clear. God has said this, and those false teachers say, no, not what God has said, but what God has not said is what you're commanded. You see, that is exceedingly wicked. What God told the whole human race through Adam and Noah is that he has given us all the plants and all the animals for our food. Now, we're going to turn to Acts chapter 10 to see what the Lord told the whole church about this through Peter. you know that we are fast-forwarding a long time, 2,400 years or so. We're skipping ahead in time. Acts chapter 10, and we're going to start reading in verse 9. Acts 10, 9. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, that's referring to somebody else, not Peter, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Peter had lived his whole life under the terms of the old covenant made by God with Israel through Moses at Mount Sinai. But that covenant had come to an end when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, making the new covenant. Many of the Jewish believers, including even the Apostle Peter, were slow to understand what all that meant. What were all the implications of that? Including the fact that the old covenant laws making certain foods clean and certain other foods unclean or common were all repealed. Those laws were no longer in effect. They weren't in effect even for the Jews. Now, the practical application of this for the church was that the Jewish preachers were no longer to maintain a separation between themselves and the Gentiles, but were to go preach the good news of Jesus Christ to all. They were free to go to a Gentile man's home. Specifically in this case, remember, the centurion. But it would then apply to any Gentile man's home. They could eat the Gentile man's food with him. And they could preach the good news of Jesus Christ to him. And the good news would not be, "Gentile man, woman, children, once you get circumcised and obey the law of Moses, then you can be forgiven your sins." No, not that. No, the good news would be, never mind circumcision, never mind the ceremonies of the law of Moses. Just whoever you are, wherever you are, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Now, note the agreement between what the Lord said in this vision to Peter and what our verse for today, 1 Timothy 4:4 says. Right here, Acts 10:12, in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, all kinds, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air, and a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill, eat." Think how well that agrees with the original institution as spoken to Adam and to Noah. Here's every kind of animal. Peter, kill some and eat it. And our verse for today, every creature of God is good and none to be refused. Notice also how that last part, none to be refused, goes perfectly with what the Lord said when Peter started to refuse, right? You notice that in the Bible, Peter specializes in hearing what Jesus has to say and then saying no, right? Jesus said, I'm going to go up to Jerusalem and be betrayed and killed and then rise again. And Peter said, no, Lord, not that. And the Lord Jesus said, tonight the Son of Man is going to be betrayed and all of you will be scattered. And Peter said, no, not me. I won't be, right? And here, he's still up to this. Now, you might take some encouragement from that if you have temptation that is stronger in you than in others, and it takes a long time of sanctification before you don't still just rush into that same old error. Well, that doesn't mean that you're the most hardened sinner in the world. It doesn't mean your cause is hopeless. That's how Peter was, and the Lord was working on him a long time before it pleased him not to have Peter be just like that anymore. But you see, Peter started to refuse or reject this. He was told by the Lord, all these different kinds of animals, whether we used to call them clean or unclean, doesn't matter. Kill some and eat some, kill and eat. And Peter says no. But the voice spoke to him a second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. Our verse says, every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused. Nothing is to be rejected. Okay. So what God told the whole human race through Adam and Noah is that he has given us all the plants and animals for our food. And what God told the whole church through Peter is that we may kill and eat all manner of animals and that we should not object that some of them are unclean. Now, see what the Apostle Paul wrote about this to the church in Rome. I'm going to turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. You know how it is when we consult one of Paul's letters to learn something, we're usually dropping in on some long doctrine about some subject, and there's statements as he's teaching that are helpful to us for understanding something, but we can't just master the whole section. Or that would be its own whole sermon or series of sermons. So we're dropping in here on doctrine that we're not going to follow the whole thing. We're just going to see that in Paul's doctrine here in Romans 14, the same truth that we're working on today is foundational to what Paul is teaching in Romans 14. It's very closely related. Really, it's almost the same subject, just different implications of it. So the same foundational truths are needed, and so the same foundational truth is mentioned in different ways, all of which will be helpful to us. Romans chapter 14, I'll start reading at verse 7. Romans 14, 7. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live to the Lord. And if we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Notice in verse 9, the great truths of the gospel. Jesus Christ is risen. He died and rose and lives again. And then see also in verse 9 and in verse 10, Christ is now Lord of all and Judge of all. Therefore, if Christ is Lord of all and Judge of all, it is not for man to make rules for other men, but it is for Christ to rule over all. It is not for me as a pastor to make religious rules for you, but instead it is for Christ to make rules for you and for me. Now, Romans chapter 14 still, back up to verses 1 and 2. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things, for one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Now, note that there, the person who does not understand that he may eat all things is described as weak in the faith. Here's a person, maybe he was only recently converted, or for whatever reason, he doesn't get this correctly. He does not understand that he is free to eat all things. Well, that person is described as weak in the faith. But then the other person who believes that he may eat all things, that person is not described as weak in the faith. It's not said that he's strong, but that's the idea. He's not weak in the faith. To believe that he may eat all things does not demonstrate weakness. But for somebody to believe that he may not eat all things, that demonstrates weakness. Now you see how well that agrees with our verse from 1 Timothy. If every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused, a person who doesn't understand that is weak in the faith. But a person who does understand that is not weak in the faith at that point. You see the agreement there. Now, still in Romans 14 and verse 14. Romans 14:14. I know and am convinced by the Lord that there is nothing unclean of itself. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. Now, there's more to this, addressing some of those questions. Yeah, but what about this and what about that? Yeah, there's more to this. But here is the statement of foundational truth. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. Every creature of God is good and nothing is to be refused, right? There is nothing unclean of itself. Now, one more thing from here in Romans. Romans 14, verse 20. Romans 14, verse 20. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure. Now, he's talking about food. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure. You see how well that agrees with Paul's statement in 1 Timothy, every creature of God is good. Now you know that as I'm reading you these phrases from Romans 14, there's more. You know, there's the statement of truth and then it goes on to explain some other related things. But it is the establishment of that fundamental principle that I'm working on with you today. that principle that's laid down there in 1 Timothy 4:4, every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused. And I'm showing you how the apostle makes that same assertion in various words throughout this discourse in Romans 14. What God told the whole human race through Adam and Noah is that he has given us all the plants and all the animals for our meat or our food. What the Lord told the whole church through Peter is that we may kill and eat all manner of animals and that we should not object to any of them. What the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Rome is that there is nothing unclean of itself. All things indeed are pure, and that it is the weak conscience that thinks a person may not eat certain foods. I'm turning next to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians 10, I'm going to read verses 25 through 27. And what's going on here is that we're near the end of doctrine on the subject of foods. And again, we can read this whole thing and study it and be answering some of the questions about, well, yeah, what about this and what about that and what about that? But we also can go here and see this same foundational truth. And here in 1 Corinthians 10, 25 through 27, the apostle puts it to us in doctrine that is very practical, very useful. This really is, okay, well then what do I do? It's really right at that level. 1 Corinthians 10, starting in verse 25. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market. Now, the older Bibles, and not even just the super old ones, but even as recently as the 1901 American Standard Version and the older ones, they all say, eat whatever is sold in the shambles. That is what the way that you used to say the meat market. Yes, it means the market, but it's in particular the market area where meat is sold, the shambles. Eat whatever is sold in the shambles or the meat market, asking no questions for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe invites you to dinner and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no question for conscience sake. This is very practical instruction. It's instruction that covers two cases, the main two possibilities, covering almost every scenario. Verse 25, if you are choosing what to eat, you have gone to the market. You're at the shambles, the meat market, or the supermarket. You are wherever it is that food is being sold, specifically flesh, meat. If you are choosing what to eat, buy whatever is sold in the market. Eat whatever is sold there. And then verse 27 covers a second scenario, which, you know, covers almost everything else. If someone else is choosing for you what to eat, you know, you're invited, you go over to somebody's house, somebody else is cooking and serving, and your only part in that is that the food is just set in front of you on the table. If someone else is choosing for you what to eat, just eat whatever is set before you. Buy whatever is for sale in the market. If somebody else is cooking, eat whatever they make for you. In both cases, the apostle says, raise no question for conscience sake. Your conscience is always working, of course. Is this right or is this wrong? Your conscience makes many judgments per day, many judgments in the course of your lifetime, and maybe having to reverse its own judgment sometimes when you learn something new. But in the case of going to buy food, there are questions. Is that a better deal? You know, does this seem fresher? Would we like this better? Is this cheaper per pound? You know, there's all kinds of questions. But there should be no question of conscience, meaning is getting this food right or wrong? Is getting this food righteous or unrighteous? Is getting this food holy or corrupt? There is no such question that you need to ask when you're buying food. Raise no question of conscience. Just whatever's for sale, if that's what you want, buy that and take it home and eat it. And then the second scenario, again, raise no question of conscience. Somebody invites you to come over, somebody else is fixing for you, and sets food in front of you. You just eat what's set in front of you without raising question of conscience. Now, there might be question of taste or appetite. Now, of course, I think that probably the wisest rules for courtesy is if somebody else is feeding you, eat what you're served and say thank you. Say thank you and eat what you're served. How much of it will you eat? That's a question. Will you ask for seconds or accept more if offered? That's a question. What exactly polite thing can you say even if you really don't like it? You know, that's a question. There's a number of questions, but there is really no question of conscience. There's no right or wrong here. There's no wicked or righteous, because there is no sin in eating some certain food over against some other food. Somebody fixes something for you, and you know what it is, or you don't know what it is, and it's set before you, just eat whatever's set before you. You see, the two scenarios, the instruction is the same. Buy whatever's in the market, eat whatever's served to you. And the accompanying instruction is also the same. Raise no question of conscience. There is no question of conscience there, if you understand this. Now, if your conscience is weak, you might think you should have a question of conscience here. But if your conscience is strong, you realize it has no question to ask here. And then the apostle quotes something from the Old Testament right in between the two lines, giving it as a reason for both of those positions. See in verse 26, "For the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness." That's Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. Okay, he has just said, go to the shambles, buy whatever you want to buy. For the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. Every animal on the earth is the Lord's. And since the Lord gave us every animal for food, then we may eat any animal for food without having to wonder whether it's right or wrong to do so. You see how all these things agree perfectly with one another. The things that were taught us in Genesis, the things that were shown to Peter, the things that the Apostle Paul is writing to the churches. Eat whatever is sold in the market, eat whatever is set before you. See how that agrees with every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused. Now, what God told the whole human race through Adam and Noah is that he has given us all the plants and all the animals for our food. What God told the whole church through Peter is that we may kill and eat all manner of animals, and that we should not object that any of them are unclean. What the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Rome is that there is nothing that is unclean of itself, that all things indeed are pure, and that it is only the weak conscience that thinks a person may not eat certain foods. What the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth is that whether you are buying the food or whether you are the one being served, you may eat whatever is before you, and you are to raise no question of conscience. By his death on the cross, Jesus Christ proclaims forgiveness of sins and eternal life for all who repent and believe in him. He proves to us, he has proven to us, the great love that God has for us sinners, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, based on the love that Christ has shown us, he teaches us to love God and to love our neighbor. And he has shown us the great example of how to do those things. And he has sent his Holy Spirit to inspire his apostles to write to us explaining all these things to us. None of what the Lord Jesus has told us, and none of what his apostles have written to us, is a command to abstain from certain foods. If you hear anyone teaching that Christians must abstain from certain foods, be warned. You are at that moment hearing false doctrine, which, if you give heed to it, will lead you to depart from the faith. You know that to command people to abstain from certain foods is not from God. For both the original grant from God to Adam and Noah and the doctrine of the Lord's apostles is that every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused. Amen. Let's pray over this.